Good morning!
Hi, Liz.
And how are you proceeding, my friend?
Very well.
Excellent. Yeah. How we discuss?
So, interesting to see on the news today that the two top stories, again, are hurricanes on the East Coast and out-of-control wildfires on the West Coast. Just feels like we've been talking about that every year.
Precisely.
They recently had a hurricane that destroyed significant parts of the Bahama Islands, and did a significant amount of damage. And I assume that would be one of the areas that you would recommend that people don't rebuild in.
I would, but they will.
Of course. Of course.
But I would also express that, in manner of speaking, this could be viewed somewhat as a blessing that it is such a disaster, because this is an area that many, many, many people value.
Mm-hmm.
Is the paradise vacation area.
Right.
And therefore, people will pay attention.
Hmm. Start to see that, you know, it's, you know, within, you know, our local area, whatever it was. I think Puerto Rico was last year largely destroyed. Now it's just again and again and again.
Correct. But unfortunately, many, many, many people do not consider these hurricanes or the wildfires to be associated with climate change. They view them as natural disasters that are normal.
Right.
That they occur every year, and that they are a normal part of the cycles, and they don't perceive them as being part of the climate change, and they are, because they are so much more destructive now.
Right.
And there are so much more of them.
Yep.
It isn't merely a situation in which there are a few each year, or two or three significant hurricanes, but now they are one on top of another, on top of another, on top of another. They're ongoing.
But I do see some information and news out there that does connect the two. And then, like, even if you had told me 5 years ago, you know, if someone asked me if I thought there was a connection, I probably would have said no. So I think there is, you know, we are moving in a direction where that, you know, we're not there yet, but that view is gaining traction.
I definitely agree. I do agree with you that more and more people are recognizing, unfortunately, there are still considerable number that move in the direction of denying that. But I would say that it will move to a point that people can only deny it to a certain degree, and then they won't have the ability to deny it any longer. Unless they are entirely blind.
Right. And I've always had the view that I don't have responsibility for other people. And they're making their own choices with the best information that they have and, you know, their own issues that they're dealing with.
Correct.
And it's not really a a thing of blaming someone or getting, you know, raising more opposition. It just, it is what it is.
I very much agree. I very much agree. But I would also say that the more that you move in directions in which you paint yourselves into corners, that you are destroying so much, the more likely you will be to change.
Therefore, right. And then also, I think, like, my personal focus and angle is more on the personal, let's say, the personality, the issues that we talk about. The more that people can get to a certain level of peace with themselves, then they automatically can move in directions that are more beneficial.
I very much agree. Yes.
Okay. Wanted to discuss a couple of exercises with you that I've been practicing with.
Excellent.
The one is actually very interesting in how simple it is take any topic that bothers you. Like, let's say it's a money concern. Let's say it's a relationship, but anything. And then just think of that topic, right? And feel that, what that feels like. And then you could, the way it was introduced to me is that you could put a number, you know, on how severe it is to you or how bothersome it is on a scale of 1 to 10. Let's say you come up with like a 6 or a 7. And then what you do is you just start saying yes to it. Yes. Yes. Can you say yes again to it? And yes more to it. And the more that you do that, you know, let's say you do it for 5 or 10 minutes, and you check how bothersome that issue is to you on a scale of 1 to 10, usually it's significantly lower. And what I get the sense is that you are moving in a direction of accepting the feelings associated with it, and so that they become less bothersome.
I very much agree that is an action of acknowledging.
Which
is precisely what I have expressed to all of you repeatedly as part of the process or the method, if you will, in relation to feelings and situations that are bothersome to you. That if you are acknowledging those feelings, meaning accepting them for what they are,
right,
not giving them more importance, but also not ignoring them or giving them no importance, but the more that you acknowledge them, the more they dissipate, and the more you are able to move in a direction of changing the importance.
Now, some of the insights that occur in practicing this is that what appears to be is that I have this, assuming others as well, have this automatic reaction that we've developed to say no to those feelings that we don't like and oppose them. But we don't notice that our body's reacting that way.
Correct.
And what I
notice in many situations how you are opposing yourself by not acknowledging those feelings and by constantly trying to push them away and get rid of them.
Right, right. And one of the cool things about doing that as that, like a little bit of a formal exercise, is that I also see that it becomes easier to see when you're reacting that way to a different subject.
Yes.
That pushing it away, that saying no.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's just something that's easy to work with, and you can apply it to so many different situations. When you see your body starting to tense up a little bit, you know, you can feel it in your stomach and change your posture a little bit. You can see that you're starting to move into that resistance.
Precisely.
Right.
And when you can catch it at that stage, it is much easier to alter that than it is once you have already given into the feeling and once you've already begun to follow it.
Right. Right.
I would say congratulations. That is a tremendous step, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. It's cool because even like if you're talking to someone else in the middle of a conversation and you can see you're starting to move in that uncomfortable direction. It's all encompassing, meaning it's so common of a direction to move in that it takes a while before you begin to see it at the physical level.
Great. But I would express that is excellent that you are experimenting and that you are actually implementing a method that is successful in relation to acknowledging those feelings.
And it gives, like other people could, it's easy for anyone to do, I think, because it gives a little more structure to the, where acknowledging the feelings, I think the difficulty in adopting it is there's, you know, you provide the base information. You don't provide necessarily, unless someone asks, a way to how to implement it. Or unless people just don't care. That's also the other thing. You got to be interested in this stuff to, I guess.
I would also say that I would say in that vein that there are many people and situations in which people don't realize and acknowledge what I have expressed in relation to feelings are attractive, because they automatically associate with that word attractive being positive, and therefore they dismiss what I am expressing to them in relation to feelings being attractive, that negative feelings are equally as attractive as positive feelings. When someone is angry, they don't necessarily want someone to help them not be angry.
Nah, no kidding.
They want to have someone else echo them.
Right.
They want to stay angry. And when you are expressing that to an individual when they aren't feeling it, when they aren't in that feeling, they automatically reject that idea because they aren't feeling it in the moment, and therefore it seems in their perception to be illogical, and they automatically think themselves that they don't do that, but they do.
Right.
And then when they are actually in a situation in which that is happening, they don't remember that information because they've already dismissed it. And once you have dismissed it, then it is very difficult to recall that information and what to do with it, because you have already overridden it in your own perception, expressing that it isn't true or it is ludicrous, and questioning, why would I ever do that? Why would I think that a negative feeling is attractive? And why would I perpetuate it? Why would I follow it? But what they don't understand is when they are upset, when they are anxious, when they are angry, when they are sad, any of these feelings that you think of as being negative, you want other individuals to join in and echo that and acknowledge that with you or to you as much as you do with positive feelings. When you are happy, you want other people to share that with you. When you are angry or sad, you also want people to share that with you.
A question on an impression that I had in talking to some people related to, you know, that are moving in the direction of implementing this information is that my impression was that in some cases, it's possible to get too hung up on the idea of figuring out the message, you know, differentiating the signal versus the message.
Yes.
In other words, it's a very quick thing. It's not something you have to decipher or spend a lot of time analyzing.
Correct. Correct. Let me express to you, this is the same as if you smash your finger, you don't necessarily in the moment incorporate a significant amount of time asking yourself, why did you do that? Rather, what you do is an automatic action. You make a sound, and you engage a movement to express and release that energy associated with the feeling. And in that, you automatically engage a beginning healing action by shaking your hand. When you shake your hand, what are you doing? You are generating your own implementation of your own ambulance. You are creating a situation in which you are expressing an emergency communication to your body to rush blood to that area to address to it. All of that is done in a moment, not over a significant amount of time. You don't have to work at it.
Right.
All done in a moment, very easily. You yell, or you express very loudly, ow. You are expressing, acknowledging, and releasing that energy, and you are instructing the body consciousness to address the situation as an emergency. And it does. And none of that requires a considerable amount of thought process, if any. And in that, you don't automatically stop and attempt to decipher why you did that. You might think about that later. But in the moment, the most important factor is to address to the physical expression.
Right.
Feelings are physical, whether they are emotional or what you think of as being physical, they are all created by your body consciousness. Therefore, they are all physical.
The other thing that I've been practicing is getting much more or much better at noticing that we talked about the evaluation or the assessment or judgment of when I'm saying, of when I'm judging something as bad or wrong or, you know, just not approving of it throughout the day. And I'll often remind myself with questions like, you know, what am I judging as wrong or bad? Or because it's so normal to be holding on to that.
I agree.
And having that influence that you almost need that outside question to remind yourself to keep looking for what you're carrying with you.
I would say that that is, once again, excellent. That you are actually thinking about all of this. That is what is so significant. I would definitely acknowledge your ability to generate successful methods in how to address to all of these situations and subjects. But I would be even more acknowledging that you actually are paying enough attention that you actually think about it. Because that is one of the greatest difficulties with most people, that they aren't thinking about it. And therefore, when something happens, they aren't equipped to address to it because they have forgotten all the information that they had given themselves. Because they aren't practicing on a daily basis and paying attention and therefore being aware or thinking about it and noticing, that I would very much acknowledge you with.
Well, that's, you know, I think you touched upon that, a similar topic in the conversation with Togi, which is, you know, people don't have, most people don't have that access to information that would motivate them to pursue this information or pursue this direction. You know, they're not aware of what the potential benefits are. You know, from my point of view, you could stop making your life miserable or stop struggling so much. But as more and more of us talk about this and move in this direction, it makes it a little bit easier for everyone to do it.
I definitely agree. Because you are contributing to the collective.
So I want to see if you would sort of verify that I am moving in a direction of, and I could, actually, I don't even need it because the validation is, I could tell in my, you know, day-to-day life just that feeling more at ease. The one thing which, and again, I do trust this process because it's obvious that you can't see a problem without creating it in the moment.
Yes.
So it's just different.
You also can't see a problem if you aren't paying attention. If you aren't paying attention to what you are doing. if you are only paying attention to what is happening outside of you, then you can't see what you are doing because you aren't paying attention to you. You aren't paying attention to what you are actually doing in those.
Right. That you are projecting that problem out there.
Correct.
Okay. The other thing that popped up, you know, popped into mind is that a lot of my automatic wants are a lot of my wants that come up in the moment are automatic reactions to my perception. They're not me. Does that make sense?
Very much so. And to offer an example.
I want more. It's because I have a perception of scarcity or lack. And you automatically want more. Once you have that, they go together.
Yes.
It's not that I want more because that's my real desire. It's because that
because you think you don't have enough.
Right. You're projecting that automatically. Yeah, okay. Very interesting. So I wanted to ask the question that Togi came up with, that great question, which was, what's the most influencing action that I express frequently that I'm not seeing that is contrary to self-love or self-acceptance?
I agree. This is an excellent question. Now, with you, I would say that this is somewhat of an interesting question for you because it would seem that you don't actually require asking that question, because it would seem that with all of the revelations that you have had and all of the movement that you do and how much you move forward so quickly, that you would be automatically expressing that self-love, or that other people would think that.
But there's layers, and the deeper, like there's always something, well, not always something, but I know that, you know, you take off the top layers at first. There's something.
Correct. And there is a difference between being satisfied with yourself and loving yourself. I would say that you are definitely accomplished at being satisfied with yourself, and you have learned very well how to be acknowledging yourself, and that you generally practice that very consistently and well, but that isn't the same as loving yourself. And in that, I would ask you, before I tell you the answer to that question, I would ask you, do you look at yourself and feel the same towards yourself as you do to your children?
Not entirely, but moving in that direction.
I agree that you definitely are moving in that direction. But I would also express that you are aware that there is a difference.
Right, and I have that expectations on myself that I...
Correct. And what I would say to you in relation to that question, what is the greatest expression that prevents you from moving in that expression of loving yourself is being caught in the analyzation of what you do. The very thing that creates such a tremendous satisfaction in you, and the very thing that I acknowledge you so much with in relation to your movement forward, is also the thing that, in a manner of speaking, gets in the way of you simply loving yourself.
Does it have a little bit of a like a self-improvement type?
Yes.
Angle? And yeah, yeah.
Definitely. I would say that that is it.
That is it. It's a, yep.
And I would say that when you are continuously moving in a direction of that self-improvement and, in a manner of speaking, chasing that self-satisfaction, which isn't bad, mm-hmm. but I would say that when you are continuously in that direction of self-improvement, it is difficult to stop and simply be and simply love yourself.
Right.
But I do definitely acknowledge that you are closer to it because of all of your methods and because of all of the work that you have done, so to speak, which isn't always actually work, but all of the movement that you have engaged in becoming more self-aware and learning how to pay more attention to yourself and placing yourself more and more in that primary position, you have definitely moved closer and closer to that expression of self-love. And I definitely acknowledge you in that.
Yeah, I've noticed, interestingly, in the last few weeks, is that I'm more open and interactive with people than I, in other words, if I'm at a setting and there's, normally I wouldn't really talk to a lot of people and I usually wouldn't be the one to initiate it, but I find myself doing that just automatically. And then it's only later on I realized that that was not a normal part of my personality previously.
Or not that it isn't part of your personality, but it isn't part of, or hasn't been, part of what you automatically did prior to now.
Right.
And I would very much acknowledge that also, because that is moving in a direction of implementing the expression of interconnectedness. And by doing that, you also are taking another step in the direction of that self-love.
Right, because it applies to everyone.
Yes. Yes.
It's interesting because I actually had an experience that I never brought up once because it was a year and a half ago. And I didn't bring it up because at the time I was with family, we're at on vacation. And I had an experience, but I had been drinking with it, so I kind of discounted it to a degree. But I had an experience where we were just going out for pizza and ice cream with the family, where I felt just almost complete openness and warmth for everyone around me, where, you know, I would be happy to stand holding the door for strangers, you know, coming in and out of the shop. And just, I was completely interested in everyone around me. And I think that was kind of like a preview of that.
I agree. And that is excellent. Because these are the indicators that you are moving in that direction of self-love, because you are allowing yourself to experience that interconnectedness. And when you can experience that interconnectedness, you recognize in a very real, objective manner that everything is literally connected, that everyone and everything, in a manner of speaking, is a part of you and you are a part of it.
Right.
And when you can experience that, it does allow you that feeling of wanting to engage.
Yep.
Which feels good.
Right, right. Where previously I would be more shielding and and perhaps, you know, talking myself down that I'm not, you know, I shouldn't be interrupting someone or... let's see. Just wanted to, I'll go for a validation on this. And I'm very sure that you'll confirm, but that I'm also continuing to move in a direction of lessening the importance of the lack of the, like, you know, even I could discuss it, but that I don't want to put too much emphasis on it, but it would be all things that we talked about in the past. But they feel like, you know, like even remember I spoke 3 or 4 months ago on how I felt that lack of accomplishment around friends and stuff. And that's gotten really small from my point of view.
Congratulations. Excellent. And what do you feel and perceive in relation to all of the movement and the experiences with your partner? Especially in light of her challenges.
Well, she's moving in a good direction now, and is.
I understand, I know, but that wasn't the question.
Maybe I don't understand the question.
I would say I'm asking you how all of that has affected you, and what have you learned and seen with yourself in relation to that situation?
One, I can't force things to go a certain way. You know what I mean? I can, you can hold to an ideal of how life should be, but you can't force it. You know what I mean? You could have that picture of how you want your life to be, like with the perfect job, the perfect family, the perfect, or whatever the scene, you know what I mean? But that's not how things work. You got to deal with all of it. not just the shiny side.
Correct. And in that, I would say that one piece that has definitely benefited you in that is precisely that, and lessening your expression of compartmentalizing. But in relation to your interaction with her and your children, your family, what would you say?
Everything is generally very smooth. We have a good partnership, I don't know.
But this is considerably different from past time framework.
Oh, yes. I was very dissatisfied at one point.
Much more reactive and much less allowing.
Was I? Yeah, I definitely can tell that, if I start to react, I can see, obviously, like we spoke about that, the feelings in the body, conscious, start to move in that direction of no, trying to push it away. And so that I can bring, that brings my attention back to me. And I don't need to force things a certain way. There's definitely, it is what it is. She's a very different person in that she believes that things should be a certain way. And I would say that I'm don't necessarily always agree. And so it creates a little bit of, where I could, she expects me to agree with her or is surprised that I don't agree with her. Does that make sense? Like interactive with the children, that they should be doing this and that. And she has her own rules about how things should be. And I think I've relaxed my view of a lot of that, where I'm more open, perhaps.
I agree. What I am expressing in that is I would say that you have accomplished quite well in this direction, and that there are many individuals that experience similar situations with children, with a partner, with illness, and in that, many individuals find these situations to be very challenging and difficult, and they want to be supportive of their partner and their family, especially in relation to anything that the family perceives as fearful, but they find it very difficult to pay attention to themselves and to pay attention to what is happening with the family and not be tremendously reactive.
I see what you're saying is that when I said the word lack, I was thinking of certain outside sources like job, money, things like that. But really, the day-to-day, a lot more of my attention is spent on my interactions with my family.
Correct. Correct.
And so those little dissatisfactions with that someone's doing this is a lot more important energy-wise.
Yes. Yes. It is.
You're right. It's so funny because you could spend so much time, or not time, but you could think that your challenge is with those other things and not necessarily with where you're actually reacting day to day.
Correct. Precisely. And that is very much the area in which the translation of the information and what you know and what you are practicing gets lost.
But I can apply these same tools to that, even if I previously didn't think about it that much, or didn't, I would, you know, because it was so common and so.
Most definitely, absolutely.
Right.
And what I am saying also is an acknowledgement of you in that you have engaged these situations well, and in that is actually providing an example for other individuals in similar situations. That you aren't expressing in a negative capacity, that you aren't angry, that you don't express bitterness, that you aren't sarcastic, that you actually are expressing a lightness in your energy, and that you are expressing in a positive, satisfied, and happy direction.
Despite.
Precisely.
Despite. If I talk to my parents, they're like, you know, worrying themselves to death about
precisely
every little thing, and it's like
precisely, and that is the point, that you aren't doing that.
No. It's funny because it's like the last, as you move in a direction of being less bothered, that can create sort of a question of, wait, am I becoming too less bothered?
And that is an excellent point also. Because I would acknowledge that with you, that there are also many individuals that incorporate that thought of, perhaps I am not paying enough attention if I am so unbothered that I'm not feeling distress or any of these, what you would term to be negative feelings and expressions, then perhaps I am in denial. Perhaps I am not being realistic. But you are.
Yeah, I did go through a phase of that for, and then I think it was partially true, because I was, we spoke about avoiding, right?
Yes.
And I am much more aware of that tendency towards avoiding. I wouldn't say that I've eliminated it at all. But I am aware that it's there, and when it creeps up, and you know, I could say that, you know, simply going through the mail, right, can bring up those, you know, avoiding feelings, interacting with certain people, stuff like that. So I'm much more aware of it than I was even 6 months ago.
I very much agree. And I acknowledge that tremendously.
And you know what gives you gives me a little bit of an assurance here, or a lot of insurance, is I can see more of the how I created the situation that I'm in. And how I reacted to those feelings that maintained the situation.
In what?
Well, like those avoiding, like that avoidance, like I've avoided certain things in my life.
Such as?
Work-related issues or interests.
Very well.
And again, you're going to say, obviously, it's just a choice or whatever, everything, but I'm not, it's not an area that doesn't completely disinterest me. It does interest me, in the right setting. And it's hard for me to describe, I guess. But when I know what I'm not avoiding because I'm just open. And I, you know what I mean? I can just move in whatever direction I want to move.
Correct.
I'm paying attention to what my sensory input is. And I could just go in whatever direction. You know, it's not that I'm it's habitually tied to certain actions over and over.
Correct. And that, I would say, is one of the most significant, or in your terms, the biggest point, is that you are much, much more aware of the fact that you have choices. Now, this is the point that is considerably difficult for many, many individuals in the moment. They aren't aware that they have choices in the moment. And you have actually moved to the point in which you are paying attention to yourself to the degree that you do know you have choices in almost every situation.
And you know what? It's funny is that I've also noticed that my importance, meaning if it's not my choice, I don't find it that a lot less important than I used to be. If it's not something that is my choice, I had this conversation with the wife and she was upset about something that was going on with the kids in school. And I was like, well, that's not his choice. And it was just she was surprised by, and I guess I hadn't, you know, responded that way much previously, but it seems what used to be more of a conceptual understanding, right, is that, oh, well, focus on your choices. It's much more natural and
you are actually expressing an influence with her and your children by example. By being you and by interacting with them differently, speaking to all of them differently, and expressing yourself differently, you are having an influence with them in a capacity that generates less conflict, not that it is gone, but that it is less, and more understanding.
Yeah. Yep.
It's tremendous. And that is all because of what you are doing. This is the reason, my friend, that this is such an excellent example for other individuals, because this is one of the most common expressions or questions with most individuals, is that they don't understand or see how changing themselves changes a situation or changes their reality in relation to other people. That they are so fixated on changing other people instead of themselves, because that is what they perceive to be the problem. And sometimes it is, but it's because of how you yourselves perceive the other individual or what they are doing.
Right, the picture in your mind that you're arguing with.
Yes, yes, precisely. And in that, this is the piece that they don't quite understand or they don't quite see. That, yes, it actually does change your reality when you change. And when you do that, then the bothersome pieces that you are concerned with in relation to other people, they begin to change also. You aren't making their choices for them, but they choose differently also because of what is happening in their environment, in their reality. When you change you, then you change the dynamic that is happening in someone else's reality.
Yeah, and when you see that you are anticipating this conflict every day, and then you realize, wait, I actually am creating it.
That would be something that your Mr. Levinson would also be addressing too, would he not?
Yes, very much so. You know, you held out a carrot a few years ago that I still continue to be inspired towards, which was the idea that knowing and believing and being present in that combination, you are invincible and the world is your oyster.
Precisely. And that is actually true.
One last quick question, if I could. I didn't realize the time.
Yes.
Is that my father, he was having hearing issues previously. His hearing actually got better, but he's now very strongly moved towards dementia. And just what is my best way to be to help him out? Because I know he feels guilty about it, because he's a burden on other people and he's not able to contribute and help out. And that's not true.
It's
none of us.
Very common, and it is very unfortunate. But what I would say to you is the first piece is don't move in a direction of expressing to him contrarily, meaning don't express to him, no, you aren't a burden. It is no bother. He doesn't believe you anyway.
Right.
Therefore, it is pointless to express in that direction. But you can show him that he isn't a burden by not asking him what he wants you to do or anything in that vein, but rather simply being there with him, listening, and paying attention to what is difficult for him through observing, genuinely observe and pay attention, watch, and in that discern, discover what may be challenging for him or what may be difficult for him to accomplish. And without discussing it with him, simply do it for him.
Okay.
Because if you aren't discussing it with him, and you simply do something for him. But if you do something for him, do it in the manner that he would do it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, that also will create tension. But in that, by moving in that direction, what you are doing is you are expressing in action that he isn't a bother, that he isn't a burden, that you are choosing to do this willingly. He didn't ask for your help. You are simply giving it without being asked. And that these are your choices. And then if he says something to you in that vein, that he doesn't want to be a burden, he doesn't want you to have to do certain actions for him, then you can simply express not, no, you aren't a burden, but rather, this is my choice. I did this because I chose to. Because I want to.
Okay.
Not because you asked. You didn't. But this is not about you. This is about my choice. This was my choice to do this. That takes the burden of the responsibility off of him. Now, what I would also express to you, my friend, and this is simply information that you can interpret to be aware of futurely, that he may also move in some directions of becoming irritated. Ignore that. That occurs with most individuals that move in these types of directions and altering their state. And in that, they become agitated, and the agitation stems from a frustration of finding it difficult to juggle more than one reality simultaneously, which is what they are doing. And in that, sometimes that creates a situation in which they are agitated to the point that they become argumentative or they seem angry. And in that, what I would say to you is ignore how something is being said.
Okay.
And for the most part, you can also ignore what is being said during that time framework.
Okay.
We made yourself in your direction and how much you appreciate him, how much you love him, and that you aren't, in a manner of speaking, weighed by that type of expression. That doesn't matter.
Right. Okay. I'll be seeing them shortly, so.
Excellent.
To practice with that. But thank you, Elias.
Also, ask questions. You can also ask while you are observing.
Mm-hmm.
Ask questions. What is important to him? What does he want to do? And if it is some type of mundane task, don't do it immediately, because he will interpret that as, I said I want to do this, and I can't, and therefore my son is doing it for me.
That
reinforces the burden aspect. But log it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time that you engage him, then do it.
Okay, Elias. Thank you.
You are exceptionally welcome, my friend. I express tremendous acknowledgement and congratulations again to you in all that you are accomplishing, and especially in that movement of expressing yes to. Congratulations. That is a very creative expression of moving in that direction of acknowledging and accepting.
Thank you, Elias.
Wondrous lovingness to you, my dear friend, as always.
Goodbye.